This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Today, a victory in the Kuala Langat Forest Reserve saga as the Selangor state government has agreed to re-gazette the forest.
First, we talk about the significance of this decision, and then we look back at the path it took to get here. And finally, what legal measures do we need so this doesn't happen again?
Tell us, what can we do to protect our forests? Call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08 and big news yesterday. So the Menteri Besar of Selangor, Datuk Sri Amiruddin Syari, said that the Selangor state government has agreed to begin re-gazetting the North Kuala Langat Forest Reserve. And if you've been following this this story, it's sort of the ups and downs and the months of struggling to make sure that this pocket of forest land is not given over for development. You'd know that this is cause for celebration for many people.
Yes, it is a very big win, and I think one that people weren't entirely sure that we were going to get. So essentially, the state government is going to stop the proposed development and cancel the transfer of the land to Gabungan Indah Sendirian and Berhad. And early de-gazettement processes had already been done according to relevant procedures, and only 104 acres out of a total of 1,326 acres will be degazetted, and that is to complete land ownership to the Busut Baru Orang Asli village to resolve issues that have been pending there since 2006. And this decision came after a recent halt order was put on plans to degazette 536.7 hectares of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. And this, as you say, Sharmila, has been going on for months now. And it began in some senses, although I think it's very easy to sort of let these stories slip past when you're not following them closely, partly because there is a sameness, a very sad sameness to the stories that come out about our forest land and whether or not they've been parceled out for development, whether or not they've been parceled out for development with consultation. But this particular story began, I suppose, in some ways in February last year when the Selangor Forestry Department made a proposal to degazette what would have been 97% of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, which would have been converted to development. And to give you a sense of what that 97% actually entailed, it would have reduced what was protected 958 hectares to merely 28 hectares.
So that, you know, that should give you an idea of the kind of the amount of land that we're talking about and what we stand to lose, not just in terms of the forest itself, but the biodiversity that exists there. And I think equally important, land that belongs to the Orang Asli community of that area. So there are a lot of issues that came up alongside this. And if we come back to perhaps present day or closer to what's been happening recently. In August, State Executive Councillor for Environment, He Loy Sian, announced that the Selangor State Government agreed to degazette 536.7 hectares of that forest reserve for development. And this was now 54% of the area that was proposed earlier. And at that time, this drew as much criticism because still it's a large amount of land that you're talking about. People who criticized this included Elizabeth Wong, Rajiv Rishakaran, and as well as, of course, many environmental activists, as well as Orang Asli activists.
Yes. And that brings us now to this month when the degazettement was put on hold so that the state government could review and clarify the issues that had been raised. And essentially, That brings us up to where we are now, because after that reconsideration, we have now this announcement of the re-gazettement of the land. And I think, while it's good news, what I'm hoping is that our introduction or our run-through of the events show why, at least for me, I feel as if it's fantastic, but it also shows the fragility of this sort of situation where our forest reserves, one of our most precious resources, right, can just be can just slip away, right, without people noticing.
So I think it's worth saying that, you know, just earlier this month, this was set to go ahead. And it was after much outcry and much public pressure, including a petition online that drew tens of thousands of signatures, social media campaigns, people speaking up, that this ended up being put on hold and then now reversed. And I think that that's worth saying because it speaks to a need for us to continuously keep an eye on these sorts of developments. And the fact that without that kind of pressure, this would have gone ahead. And that's quite scary to think about because, as you said, these things are so fragile. And I think that's what we wanted to address in today's show, to celebrate that victory, yes, but to also talk about long-term measures that perhaps we need to put in place to ensure that our forest reserve lands that are lands that belong to the indigenous communities are not so easily taken away. So that's what we'll be talking about coming up after this. We'll be speaking to director of the Global Environment Center, Faisal Parish, and we'll be looking at what this victory means. We'd like to hear from you. What can we do to protect our forests? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the re-gazettement of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, celebrating that victory, talking about what this means moving forward and what more we have to do. And we'd like to hear from you. How can we better protect our forests? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Faisal Parish, Director of the Global Environment Center, representing the Pertahankan Hutan Simpan Kuala Langat Utara Coalition. Faisal, good to have you with us.
Very good to be here.
So this battle of sorts against the de-gazettement has been going on for more than a year now. What were your initial reactions to that decision to re-gazette the land yesterday?
Very positive. I think we're all very excited. I mean, we were concerned, but we were somewhat confident due to the overwhelming support from so many stakeholders supporting the protection of the forest, and also the strong facts we presented to counter the proposal for development. So we were very hopeful that there would be a positive decision yesterday, and that was what happened in the end.
Could you briefly take us through the journey that it took to get here?
Well, unfortunately, it was a long and troublesome journey. It started in 5th of February 2020 when the state government published a notice in the newspaper that asking for objections to proposal for de-gazettement of the forest reserve. That time they were talking 97% of forest reserve to be de-gazetted. And then they just gave a mere 30 days to give objections from stakeholders. So we worked and mobilized our various partners, and in 30 days, we were able to get 45,000 written objections submitted to the state government. We established a broad coalition of many different partners, and then we started over the next year to undertake studies, assessments, submissions, demonstrations, memorandum preparation, media interviews. Altogether, I think a total of 200 media coverages have been there. Broadcast, print, and social on the issue. So I think this has been quite unprecedented in Malaysia of the scale of interest, engagement in this, and it's really fired up everyone's effort and imagination. And I think now everyone in Malaysia is recognizing you can't take the people for granted. You have to think about the implications, and we hope this will start changing the way forward of how the environment and how people's views are treated.
So what does it mean to have the forest re-gazetted, both for the environment as well as the Orang Asli community in the area?
I think for the environment is quite critical because this is a unique site. It combines peat swamp forest as well as lowland forest. There are unique species found there and nowhere else in the world. It's a very unique assemblage, but it's right in the middle of the populated area. And so it has great potential as an education site, as a visiting site, a learning area. For the Orang Asli in the area, this has been their home, and they've been stewards of the land for more than 130 years. And so they were, many of them were traumatized by the prospect of this just being taken away and bulldozed for some stupid development project. So the many of them were so stressed for the last 18 months, and therefore they're very relieved about the decision, but they recognize this is the start. We really need to make, to cement the clear role and enhance the management and make sure this type of thing never happens again.
So, of course, and as you referenced there, the Temuan Orang Asli are among the people most affected by this. What have you heard since the announcement from them?
I think they're extremely happy and positive. They're already talking about what things they might do. There's been so many requests. I mean, in pandemic, people could not go there. So many people, thousands of people have been asking, can we go there? Can we see the area? So they're looking at ways of which they could help maybe facilitate or bring people through the forest to show the wonders of the area. So that's one thing that they're thinking. But also, I think it's important that we have not achieved everything that needs to be done. We have saved the forest, but we've not saved the people. The Orang Asli, there are four villages around the forest, and none of them have a gazettement for their land. So they have been vulnerable and threatened by many developments around them. Even during this process, they've been pressured and threatened to drop their objection and threatened with their land being taken away. We need to get that land for every village, must be gazetted as soon as possible. And also the welfare needs of the community are dealt with. Many of them don't have proper services or facility, and those need to be improved, as well as opportunities for them need to be enhanced.
So on that note, the Menteri Besar has said that the 104 acres of the forest will remain degazetted as a compensation for the Busut Baru Orang Asli village. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's not so much compensation, but this land was promised to them in 2006 when one particular village was forcibly removed from the area, which is now the KLIA, and put down here, and they were promised 1,000 acres at the time. But they were shortchanged. So this is just making up the completing that promise to them in 2006, the additional land. So I think and they have been basically managing or protecting that land, even though they had no the legal status. So I think that this will just be part of showing that they also can take care of the land, not just the forestry department can look after it. The 104 acres would be under the stewardship of that village. So I think it's a positive move going forward. And as I said, the other villages are also facing problems that their land has been cut back, reduced a lot. Some have been used for sand mining, some have been used for other things. And all of those villages need to have a proper assessment and proper adequate land given to them for their future.
So the MB has also said the government is going to consider maintaining a small degazetted area for the East Coast Rail Link project alignment. What do we currently know of this?
From our perspective, definitely it should not happen. As the people are aware, the current route of the East Coast Railway is totally nowhere near Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. So why you want to keep part of the land in the degazetted area? So that's no sense at all. Even the Selangor State had earlier suggested a route near to the south of Kuala Langat Forest Reserve, but some kilometres away from the degazetted land. So there's no justification at all to keep any land on speculation that there might be a railway coming through there. I mean, gazette back all the land. You make a mistake, you degazetted it, gazette it back. If there's any issue with the railway in future, then that's another issue to consider at that time. This is not time to speculate with the forest reserves.
So the Selangor State Government is looking to convene a meeting of the Select Committee on Capability, Accountability and Transparency as a way to answer questions on the previous degazettement. Will you or the coalition be participating in this meeting?
I think definitely if we're positive about this, we will definitely participate in this if we're invited. And we think there's a lot of things that need to be looked at by this Select Committee. Because the whole process of degazettement, there have been a lot of problems. And in our view, there's been a total lack of transparency. There have been arbitrary decisions, poorly organized inquiry process. Documents have been kept secret. There have been threats to local communities to withdraw their objections. There have been changes in developers. So a lot of problems with the whole process and many lessons learned from that. And I think CellCat needs to probe that in detail, identify the problems, and then change the system. If necessary, modify the regulation to make sure this type of problems don't happen again.
Moving forward then, what changes do you hope to see happening in the near future?
I think we've put out a statement earlier today in which we've called for a number of actions by the state government, federal government, and by the broader public. And amongst the things that we're calling for is that within 30 days, the forest, which was degazetted on the 12th of August, should be gazetted back. That's very simple, straightforward. All the documentation is there, just simple paperwork. So within 30 days, regazettement. We're also asking the state within 3 months to gazette the four Orang Asli villages. They've been waiting, in some case, 100 years and not gazetted. Yet developer can come in and in a few months can be offered 400-500 hectares of land. They're looking after the forest for 130 years. They cannot even get their village gazetted. That should be done within 3 months. Thirdly, we want the state government to change the rules for forest degazettement so we don't get this disaster happening again. We believe it's more appropriate to give the power to the state assembly, not the EXCO, to consider any proposal for degazettement in future. Fourthly, we think the state needs to allocate resources for the management of Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. Now it's been decided to keep it. Don't just leave it, ignore it, put the resources in necessary for its management, but do it in partnership with the Orang Asli, with the NGOs, with other groups that have been working there in the past and want to work there in the future as partners. It can be turned into an icon. It can be turned into a gateway for Malaysia. It's right on the highway from the international airport to Kuala Lumpur, and every tourist coming to Malaysia could potentially stop off there and be showcased tropical forest on the way from the airport, quite unique of any other country in the region. In addition, we feel that not only the state needs to act, that the federal government, which has been very supportive in the debate, and the minister has come out with statements this week saying not to degazette, and we hope the federal government will then put resources and look at ways to support not only Selangor, but other states in better protecting forests and other environmentally sensitive areas. Allocating funds, budget, we have the 12th Malaysia Plan just coming up, the new budget 2022, make a special fund, fiscal transfer to state, provide incentives to those states that better protect their forest resources. Because the majority of the money, the income, like all the income tax in Malaysia goes to federal government. And then the state government, they're getting money from logging, land development. But this is leading to the rapid conversion of forests. So the federal government need to allocate back resources so that the states can effectively manage the environment.
Faisal, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Faisal Parish, Director of Global Environment Centre and also representative from the Pertahankan Hutan Simpan Kuala Langat Utara Coalition, which is a coalition of 15 groups that pushed for the regazettement of the forest. We'd like to hear from you. What can we do to protect our forests better? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages.
Yes. So Fayette says, on this issue, there's only one way, in my opinion, open source land registry through blockchain linked with both state and federal government. This would mean that us, the public NGOs, could be able to check and see through an open source database whenever there is any form of application. Other information such as Orang Asli demographics, land activities can be recorded transparently. The question is, would the share or stakeholders opt for this?
So that's such an interesting message, Fayad, because transparency has been one thing that's been brought up so many times in the course of this, right? From the issue of who gets the rights to develop to how these tenders were accorded. So yes, I think that that sounds like a great and sort of very technologically forward way of keeping track of these things. The question is whether people will opt for this sort of transparency. keep those thoughts coming. How can we better protect our forests? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we look at the path that brought us here and revisit some interviews we've done previously on this issue. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the regazettement of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve after a long journey of, a fear of the fact that the land would be redeveloped. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Let us know, what could we do better to protect our forests? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we thought we'd look at the long journey that led us to this day, to that regazettement win. So last week, Wong Xiaoning and Philip C of The Morning Run spoke to Petaling Jaya MP Maria Chin Abdullah to get her thoughts on the degazettement plan. Here's a clip of how she felt about the proposal.
I was rather disappointed when I heard about the degazettement because Kuala Langat is one of those very few, forest reserve land, and it has abundance of birds and insects and all that. Not only that, the livelihood of the orang asli would be affected. Just to put in the facts a bit more, presently the degazettement covers 45% of what is available, the 991.9 hectares of land. So 45% of that is now under degazettement. Well, the EXCO, particularly YB He Loi Sien, has claimed that it still maintains that 30% of the land, which is still under reserve land. But if we look at the Act itself, the National Land Land Act, it actually is very broad. It actually allows too much of leeway for land to be degazetted, and that Act needs to be reviewed and tightened up so that we don't have forest reserve land degazetted anymore. This Kuala Langat National Forest Reserve land, when you actually degazette it, it really contradicts the Selangor Structure Plan of 2035.
Maria then spoke about the approval process of the degazettement and really how it came about.
Actually, it came, the discussion started, yes, you're right, May, but in September, there was kind of like a town hall meeting for 2 days where objections were actually called by the Selangor State Government led by YB He. I remember it being held at the Equatorial Hotel, and Perker NGO actually raised a lot of reservation over the degazettement of Kuala Langat. Then come November, where a motion was actually put forward and it was agreed by unanimously, if I'm not mistaken, by all the state assembly persons who were actually present, to say that no more degazettement of any land reserve, it would be protected. So it came as a shock and very disappointing move when Selangor State Exco decided, to degazette 45% of the land.
That was Petaling Jaya MP Maria Chin Abdullah in a conversation with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C from The Morning Run about the degazettement plan. To listen to this podcast, you can head to our website or the BFM app and search for Flip Flops of Selangor's degazettement of Kuala Langat Reserves.
Now, like we said earlier, we've done a number of shows on this across the station. And earlier this month, Juliet Jacobs of The Bigger Picture spoke to Shak Koyok, a contemporary Orang Asli artist from the Pertahankan Hutan Simpan Kuala Langat Utara, as well as researcher and activist Nicole Fong from Climate Action Malaysia. That's Kami. So we're going to replay some clips from that conversation. First up, Shak talks about the reaction from the Orang Asli community when they heard of the degazettement proposal.
The degazettement plan was came about in February last year, February 2020. Basically, the Selangor MB or Selangor Menteri Besar, they put the advertisement on the newspaper. the advertisement said, we're going to plan to degazette this forest reserve. And they give us 30 days to respond or to object. For that reason itself, actually, the create a lot of anxiety among the community of Rasli that live in the area. And also it make us quite angry because the military visa doesn't approach us, doesn't have any consult us about this matter. Yeah. They just put the advertisement in the newspaper. So Selangor Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syari revealed that two company called Titian Jutaria Sindran Berhad and Menteri Besar Incorporated Selangor or MBI Selangor. So they these developers supposedly to they proposed to develop the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve.
Nicole Fong then spoke about how her coalition and various others came together to oppose this plan.
The coalition is quite a diverse group of people. It's got, you know, environmental groups, youth climate groups, arts, local community interest groups, indigenous communities, and also political and human rights groups. So we actually came together last year because we saw the urgent need for it. And we only have one purpose, which is to stop the degazettement of HSKLU. And so far, what we've been doing, just to add to like what Shat was sharing earlier, you know, we managed to campaign and get a lot of objections from the public. Like you said, 45,000 objections to the Forestry Department, 130,000 like petitions online, and over like 1,000 emails that the public sent to the MPs. So we've been campaigning quite consistently for the past year. And yet still, here we are. Yeah.
Shaq and Nicole then went on to talk about their thoughts on the Selangor State's decision.
The way they did it quietly is very undemocratic. And that's almost like exploiting the pandemic era, pandemic time, where we don't have proper meeting, proper government sitting, or even parliament is still not open. Yeah. So that's actually undemocratic the way they did. That actually show that they actually want to hide something. And, you know, that's not really good practice that's been done by the government, by Selangor government. And, you know, that's really give a very bad reputation for the Selangor government to propose that. And also try to almost like... doesn't follow the result in the state assembly last year. So the state assembly anonymously saying that most of the MP object any degazettement in any forest reserve in Selangor. So, you know, it's shown that Selangor government try not to use that result in the last state assembly. And they just go ahead without any permission of any MP about that. So it's just make it really, it's not good. It's not good for the country. It's not good for the state. It's not good for the whole political system.
And not only was it done in secret, there were a few changes made to the whole proposal. So instead of the entire over 991 acres, hectares of the forest, sorry, they're only now gazetting 536, which is equivalent of like 54%. And they're using it as a justification to say, hey, we're not destroying the whole forest. We're only just over half the forest, which is still unacceptable. And besides that, there was another update. So instead of MBI and Titan Jutaria, it's now been revealed that there's a new company called Gabungan Indah Sendirian Berhad. And we found out now that that company is basically a shell company linked to a former Johor UMNO youth chief, as well as Samling Corporation, which are a logging company from Sarawak. Yeah, so we're still trying to uncover that, but that is what we know. And also, they keep justifying and they keep repeating over and over again that the reason why we're degazetting is because the forest is degraded. When that is simply untrue. Yes, there have been forest fires, but the Forest Department has reported that since 2016, there's actually been no forest fires. And if you go take pictures, go down on the ground, the forests are still very healthy. And it's also setting a really dangerous precedent for future forest governance by allowing them to use the excuse that the forest is degraded, it's not so high quality, so we're going to just convert it and develop it instead of rehabilitate it, which is their job.
That was Shak Koyok, a contemporary artist and a contemporary Orang Asli artist from the Pertahankan Hutan Simpan Kuala Langat Utara Coalition, and a researcher and activist Nicole Fong from Klima Action Malaysia, speaking about the process and the fight to preserve the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. Of course, just yesterday they've announced that the forest will now be re-gazetted. If you want to listen to that podcast, you can head on to our website or the BFM app. Look up No Hope for Hutan Simpan Kuala Langat Utara. After this, we'll be taking a forward look of sorts. While celebrating this victory, I think it's important to talk about what more we need to do so that situations like this don't arise again. So we'll be talking about ways in which our forests can be protected legally. So let us know, what could we be doing better? What can we do to protect our forests? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:50. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about the re-gazettement of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, which was just announced yesterday. And we're going to be closing off our discussion today by talking about what else needs to be done. How else can we protect our forests? And that's what we'd like to hear from you. What more could we be doing? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Kyu Jia Yeo, who is co-deputy chair of the Bar Council Environment and Climate Change Committee. Jia Yeo, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Sharmila. Hi, Chulin.
What have we learned from this recent situation surrounding the Kuala Langat Forest Reserve in terms of protection efforts that are needed for our forests?
I think the commitment to a people-oriented approach is no longer a slogan merely or a window dressing. It must be a real commitment, a departure from which will have real consequences. And leaders who want to test that will face various consequences, you know, political costs, economic costs, and reputational costs. The KLNFR campaign, as we saw, was supported by all of society, local communities, environmental NGOs, technical experts, Orang Asli groups. And this is because governance is ultimately a complex matter. The old wisdom was, we in the government know best. You know, what do you all know? It's too complex for you. But the writing has been on the wall for some time now. The top-down development approach of the past is a very simplistic and low-resolution approach. What works better and smarter is to embrace public participation in decision-making so that we have a fuller picture of what's at stake, who have interest, the opportunities, you know, the advantages or constraints of the physical environment concerned, the dynamic relationships between the different stakeholders and all these things. That's a higher resolution decision-making that the people expect now. I think that's an important thing that we have seen from what's happened in this debacle.
Could you give us an overview of what measures we currently have in place to prevent exploitation of our forest lands?
Well, the state of Selangor is actually a good benchmark to say what we have in place. Among all the states in Malaysia, Selangor is the most progressive in terms of its existing written laws. Yeah, the black letter of the law, Selangor so far is in front because it has two features in its body of legal framework that sets it ahead. One is the access to information, enabled by the Freedom of Information Enactment. And secondly is the legal provision in Selangor's forestry laws that makes it compulsory for the state government to conduct a public consultation before it de-gazettes any forest reserve.
So these terms that we're talking about, de-gazettement, re-gazettement, how much protection is actually given to gazetted lands?
Well, gazetted land will have to be treated differently, and it comes under the purview of the Forest Department, and then it's accorded, you know, there are different rules in terms of who can go into the land, that is gazetted as a forest reserve, what can be done in there, and the resources that the state allocates towards protecting it and protecting it to a different degree. So like in terms of the forest reserves that we have, you know, there are categories of it. So parts of it are categorized as production forests where they can be logged sustainably with a 30-year cycle. And then there could be forest reserves that are protected forests, which are not part of that managed logging process. So it is a fundamental difference. Yeah. So it's a big deal to actually degazette a piece of forest for development.
So as things stand now, are we likely to see situations like the Kuala Langat degazettement happening again elsewhere? And how could we safeguard against this?
Oh, yes, we will. The risk is always there. I think we must think of it as like gardening. You know, we have to keep the weeds at bay all the time. So we must have a long horizon and understand that this is part of governance. If the citizenry, if society is lazy, it doesn't play its role, then the weeds can come in, yeah? And by that will be apathy and complacency, no checks and balance. Then there is a good environment and breeding ground for abuse of power, non-accountability, and then later on, corruption, and very, very bad things like the 1MDB kind of situation that we see. So that is not to say that every effort for check and balance should be as difficult as what we have seen. The sacrifice that the activists have done in the KLN NFR campaign, you know, it shouldn't be so hard. It shouldn't be so, it was 2 years of campaigning. It shouldn't be so precarious. But I think yesterday's victory should be taken as a really good lesson and should be celebrated, and we should build on that.
So are there laws and systems from other countries that we could look at as examples for how we can better protect our forests?
Well, yeah, I think if we take KLNFR as a microcosm of a lot of the threats to the rest of our forests in Malaysia, I think some of the themes that came out from this campaign, from this scandal, is one, that's the environmental angle, the biodiversity that is at stake. Then there is also the orang asli aspect that is also a part of what's at stake. So and that points to a post-colonial aspect of our past, and it's written in our laws. You see the colonial aspect. So I think I think the Indian Forestry Act is something that I found to be very interesting as a point of reference to learn from. Now, what they've got is they've really in 2006 they passed a at that time very controversial Forestry Act where they democratized the management of their forests to local units and down to the villages. And what was very unique and I think very powerful was they also mandated that the committee at the local village level must consist of a certain percentage of women. I thought that was a very wise decision. And that was a good resilience against corruption and a lot of nonsense that can happen in decision-making.
Jaya, we just have a minute left with you. What would you like to see prioritized in terms of legislation relating to forest lands?
Well, I hope all other states in Malaysia will also make it compulsory for the state governments to at least conduct a compulsory public consultation before degazetting any forest reserves. You know, I think the end game form of our rules of governance must be an invitation to struggle to members of the public in form and in substance. Yeah, thank you.
Jaya, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Q Jaya, co-deputy chair of the Bar Council Environment and Climate Change Committee, speaking to us about the legal aspects of ensuring that our forests have the protection that they deserve. And we'd like to hear from you. What can we do to protect our forests? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We've, of course, been talking about this because of the regazettement of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve yesterday. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.